Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Ameen. I'd like to welcome you all back to our daily program this Ramadan, the Message of the Quran program. This is where we'll be summarizing or trying our best to summarize some of the concepts that are covered in the evening recitation for that day. Inshallah, today we'll be covering the fourth juz of the Quran. Again, just as a reminder before we begin, that this series is brought to you by Helping Hand. Helping Hand has been a trusted partner for Qalam for many years. They've served people in need around the globe since 2005 with a focus on international relief and development. Since its inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and have lifted thousands of poverty out of poverty with their long-term assistance programs. This Ramadan, Helping Hand is focusing on continuing its fight to eradicate hunger across the world with the Share Your Plate campaign. To learn more about this campaign, please visit hhrd.org/qalam. Again, that's hhrd.org/qalam. If you want to find out more about the work that they're doing, and please do consider supporting them. All right, so inshallah, this today we're beginning the fourth juz. This is a continuation of Surah Ali Imran. The fourth juz starts off with a very kind of powerful ayah that summarizes so many of the principles of our faith. The fourth juz begins with, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you shall never attain righteousness. You will never attain a state of good unless you spend from what you love. And this is a very interesting concept. And it's something that's highlighted in our faith, you know, over and over again. We see it oftentimes coupled with prayer, أقيم الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة, establish prayer and give zakah. We're seeing here more now a general mention of giving. And there's a very powerful principle behind that is that as you detach yourself from worldly things, again, it doesn't only have to be money, but any kind of attachment, anything that you have, as you give it up or as you spend it, that ensures that you aren't attached to this world. And again, that's one of the things that was highlighted throughout Surah Baqarah. If we look back at the story of Bani Israel, we see that one of their biggest issues wasn't they didn't have huge issues in faith, but they had a deep attachment to this world. And that attachment to this world prevented them from submitting. It prevented them from executing those acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see this even in the example of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that so many people, they understood the reality and the truth of the message of the Quran, the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it was something else that held them back. And when we give, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, that the only way to righteousness, that we can never attain righteousness until we start giving from what we love. You have to sacrifice and give up some of those things that you love. And this month is a perfect example of that, right? Fasting 30 days straight, making extra effort in the night to pray Tarawih prayer, trying to recite more Quran, trying to do as much good as possible to take advantage of this opportunity. All of this is an example of giving up what you love consciously so that you can find that attachment and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever you spend, Allah is fully aware of it. Again, Allah is aware of whatever sacrifice that you are making. And again, that's the other point here, is that not only to give up or spend a sacrifice, but make sure you're doing it for the sake of Allah. In the first few pages of this juz, of the fourth juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights for us another very important concept, and that is the concept of community. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives us a few critical commands. In ayah number 102, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, fear Allah, or as the word in Arabic is, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Again, this is the command form of the noun taqwa, to exercise taqwa. Oftentimes it's translated as fear, but hopefully this month we're getting a better idea of what exactly that means. Taqwa is a consciousness, an awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that guides your decision-making process. It's an awareness of Allah that when you have that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you do actions that will bring you closer to Allah, and you actively avoid those things that will be displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So oftentimes it's just translated as fear, but really it's this awareness and consciousness of Allah that guides our actions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be conscious of Him as He deserves to be. Right, as He deserves to be, and let not yourself die except in a state of being a Muslim or in a state of submission. Then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And there's a few ayat in the beginning of this juz that talk about this idea of community. That everything that we do, we oftentimes find most of the commands that come in the Quran are plural commands. These are instructions that are given to us as a people and as a community, as an ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're not encouraged to just be solo worshipers. We're not just supposed to do things on our own or just grow on our own and only focus on ourselves. If we take it back to the first ayah of this juz, this idea of giving from what you love, this supports a community, this supports those around you. When you give up what you love and you sacrifice it and you spend and you give to others, you're also benefiting a larger community, because as Muslims, we're not just concerned with ourselves, but we're concerned with the collective. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hold fast, all of you, hold on tight to the rope of Allah and be not divided. Remember the blessing of Allah upon you. Now, this is such a beautiful callback to the companions who, when they listen to this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them of the fact that before Islam, they were divided. Before Islam, some of them were, from warring tribes or opposing tribes. But Islam was that thing that united them together. It unified them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of this powerful principle of unity. And He says, that again, hold fast to the rope of Allah and be not divided. Remember the blessing of Allah upon you. Remember that there was a time when you were enemies to one another, and He brought your hearts together so that you can become like brothers through His blessing. You were at the brink of the pit of fire. Again, you were just at the edge of falling into the fire, and then He saved you from it. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes His signs clear to you so that you may take the right path. So again, back-to-back instructions. The first one, to be conscious of Allah, to exercise that taqwa. The second one is to come together as a community, to really focus on this idea of unity and bringing your hearts together. Again, why? Unifying upon the love of Allah, unifying upon that dedication and devotion to Allah. It's very important, because if we internalize this concept of coming together for that common goal of connecting with Allah and building that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or connecting or coming together in our faith, it puts all other connections and relationships to the side. And it gets rid of a lot of these toxic things that we see in our community. It gets rid of tribalism and nationalism and all these other isms that really end up dividing us. But we're being reminded as believers that the most important thing, first and foremost, is that connection of faith that ties you together as believers, that rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following ayah says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعَرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, be a community that calls for what is good, urges what is right, and forbids what is wrong. Those who do this are the successful ones. Again, a very important concept of this communal aspect of our faith. Everything we do in Ramadan is such a beautiful example of that, of these communal activities that we engage in. When we go to the masjid, in this month, we gather every single night for Taraweeh, right? And alhamdulillah, hopefully this year, more and more Muslims will be able to gather. I know last year was obviously a very different Ramadan. But inshallah, we're grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's allowing us that opportunity. And then in the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to talk about this Ummah, again referring to us, the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas ta'muruna bil-ma'ruf wa tanhawna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "You are the best Ummah ever raised for mankind. You bid the fair and forbid the unfair. Again, you enjoin what is good and you enjoin what is good and you stay away from what is bad, or you stop what is bad, and you believe in Allah. وَلَوْ آمَنَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ مِنْهُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَأَكْثَرُهُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. If the people of the book had believed, it would have been better for them. Among them, there are believers, while most of them are sinners. Again, this idea, there's such a powerful little word in this, in the beginning of this ayah, that really, again, tells us about our purpose as a community and as an ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas," that we're the best ummah that was raised for all of mankind. And this is a very interesting little word here, that when you say for mankind, what does that mean? And ultimately, it's a callback to the message of the Prophet, and really our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was sent as a mercy to mankind, not just as a mercy to believers, a mercy to everyone. And that's really this, that understanding that ultimate mission really is that this goodness that we experience, this guidance that we have, this is a blessing from Allah, and it's a blessing that we do our best to share with the world, right? That we are the best ummah ever raised for the benefit of mankind, to help mankind, to spread this guidance and to spread this good that comes from that guidance. Now, a few pages later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in a passage qualities of the people of taqwa. And again, the reason I wanted to spend a little time talking about this here, there's a lot of different things covered, of course, in a whole juz of Quran. So I want to kind of focus on a few things, a few passages here and there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here gives us some qualities of the people of taqwa. And the reason I wanted to spend a little time on this today is because when we talk about the month of Ramadan, or when we talk about fasting, we often highlight that fasting is the month of taqwa, or fasting is the action that is meant to increase our taqwa. And in Ramadan, we fast for 30 days straight, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَحَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That, oh, you believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, it has been mandated upon you like it was mandated for those before you, so that you can exercise taqwa. And it's one of those things that, as we're a few days into the month of Ramadan, you're already starting to feel what that means. And as I mentioned earlier, taqwa is that thing, is that God consciousness, that awareness that pushes you to be obedient to Allah, and that helps you stay away from Allah's disobedience of Allah. Now, again, what does that look like? It looks like there's a few different things. Obviously, when we're fasting, it's pretty clear, right? When you think about just the idea of fasting from something, of abstaining from something, that requires a level of consciousness. You have to really think, or especially the first few days of the month of Ramadan, that first day when you start fasting and you go to the fridge or you turn on your coffee machine or you do something out of habit, and then there's an awareness, there's something that that triggers and turns on, and then you stop yourself from, you know, eating food or having coffee or whatever other things we're not able to do while we're fasting. That's such a prime example of taqwa. But in this passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives us some other interesting qualities of people of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rush towards forgiveness from your Lord and a garden, a paradise, whose span is from the heavens to the earth. U'iddat lil muttaqin, it has been prepared for the muttaqin. It has been prepared for those who are God conscious. Again, those who exercise that quality of taqwa. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights for us two groups of people. Two people that fit into this category of muttaqin. The first one, he says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are the ones who spend in good times and in bad times. And this is a very interesting quality, the first one mentioned here, that they give up, again, that first ayah we opened with, they give up that which they love. By spending, they are sacrificing, they are proving that they are proving their detachment from this world or detachment from worldly things. So they spend whether they're in good times or bad times. And this is a very interesting thing because it's easy to spend when things are good. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights here that they also spend when things are difficult. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, that these people are the ones who they swallow their anger. And this is a very interesting expression. Of course, we use it in English as well, and it exists in Arabic as well. But this idea of when someone swallows their anger, that means that their anger is no longer visible. That they were angry, they were triggered, something happened that made them angry, and then they swallowed it and they got rid of it. Right? It's kind of beyond just being patient, but it's getting rid of that anger. They swallow that anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and they pardon people. So these three qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions for people of taqwa, that they spend in good times and in bad times, they swallow their anger, and they pardon and forgive people. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah says that He loves those who excel and do good deeds. So that first group of people, it's pretty obvious, you know, when you see those qualities, you can expect that these kind of people would be counted amongst the muttaqeen. These kinds of people would have a garden Jannah prepared for them. The next group is very interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right after this highlights, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the second group that falls into this category of muttaqeen, he says that those are the ones that when they do something inappropriate, when they engage in lewd actions, again, fahisha is a very broad word, anything indecent, lewd, you know, inappropriate actions, أو ظلموا أنفسهم, or they wrong themselves. It's quite interesting that, you know, we just mentioned some great qualities of people who spend in good times and bad, who swallow their anger, who forgive people. And it makes sense why those people would be counted amongst the muttaqeen. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about another group who is counted amongst the muttaqeen. But it kind of starts off in a way that you wouldn't expect. Where now Allah is saying that these people, when they either do something indecent, inappropriate, lewd, or when they wrong themselves, again, how are these people going to be considered amongst the muttaqeen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us the formula. He says, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. That it's not that they just did that action and that's it. It's not that they fell into sin or they fell into indecent actions or they, you know, did something inappropriate. But after falling into that action, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ, they remembered Allah. And as a consequence of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Then they sought forgiveness from Allah. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ Then they sought forgiveness from Allah. And it's so powerful here. We're learning about the power of istighfar. That it doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what you do after that. Right? If you make a mistake, if you sin, if you fall short, if you fall into indecent, inappropriate actions, that's not the end of the road. Right? As believers, that's kind of where the test begins. After that, now we see, what do you do next? Do you just persist on that? Or do you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then seek forgiveness for your shortcomings? Right? That's where it's time to make a decision. You've done something wrong, as again, all human beings will do. Right? All human beings will do. It's the nature of mankind. We're not perfect. But what do you do after you make a mistake? And we're learning here that if you want to be counted amongst the people of taqwa, then you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you seek forgiveness for your shortcomings. And then you will be counted amongst the people of taqwa. And a powerful statement after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ That who is there out there who can forgive you except Allah? It's such a powerful statement because that's really what it's all about. It's not about what you did. It's not about the gravity of your sin. It's about the fact that you cannot seek forgiveness except from Allah. Allah is the one who is always there to forgive. You can't go anywhere else to find that forgiveness. You can only find that forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights for us some of the qualities of istighfar. If we want our istighfar, if we want our repentance to be accepted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you seek forgiveness from Allah, وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَدُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ And you try not to fall back into that action. You actively try to avoid falling into that action knowingly. Again, does that mean that if you fall into it again, it's the end of the road? Absolutely not. Again, it's just like a reset button. If you keep falling into the same mistake, keep falling into the same sin, a believer is one who continuously seeks forgiveness, right? And it's part of Shaitan's trap that he tries to convince us that we're not worthy of Allah's forgiveness. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us there is no one out there except Allah who can forgive you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the reward for both of these groups of people. He says, أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَجَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people, their reward is forgiveness from their Lord and gardens beneath which rivers flow, and they will live in there forever. And how amazing, how beautiful a reward this is for those people who do good deeds. So again, this passage highlights for us different manifestations of taqwa. A lot of times we just think about it as fasting or doing good or being conscious of Allah, but we're seeing that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that consciousness of Allah that we're trying to build in this month of Ramadan, that we're trying to exercise more and more, it's something that really permeates into so many other actions. Right? If we're going to remember Allah more effectively, if we are more conscious of Allah, we can remember Allah more effectively. If we are conscious of Allah, if we exercise taqwa, then we can seek forgiveness more sincerely and more often. Right? So taqwa is that building block that we're working on in this month of Ramadan so that it can really build us up in all other aspects of our faith. Now, in the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a very powerful ayah that comes in many places in the Quran in a few different variations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, did you think that you would enter Jannah, you would enter the garden without Allah first proving which of you would struggle for his cause and which of you would remain steadfast? Now, this is such an interesting ayah. We see it in many places in the Quran, but this question, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ That did you just think you were going to enter Jannah? And there's a few follow-ups to it, but in this surah, the follow-up is without you proving which of you would struggle and which of you would struggle and remain steadfast. And again, this question is posed in many places in the Quran that Jannah doesn't just come for free, right? It doesn't just happen, but it requires some effort and it requires some struggle. Then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reveals a very powerful ayah that, again, here is a callback to the Battle of Uhud, when the Muslims, initially winning and initially kind of following the commandment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as a result of that, it looked like they were going to win, but then as the archers kind of fell into that trap of disobeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went after the spoils of war, and then kind of the tide turned, right? And the Muslims, as they were winning, they suffered a bunch of losses. During that time, the word spread that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, right? And this ayah was revealed, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is nothing but a messenger, and there have been messengers before him. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ, so if he dies or if he is killed, would you turn back on your heels? وَمَن يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَن يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ, whoever turns back on his heels can never harm Allah in the least. Allah shall soon reward the grateful. Again, this is a very powerful reminder that as much as we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right, where there's huge emphasis on loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we, you know, fall in love more and more with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as we learn about him, and as we learn about his life, we learn about the sacrifices he made for, really ultimately, for us to have this guidance. We see the beautiful character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ultimately, the ultimate goal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to tie us and connect us to Allah, and that is at the heart of why we're here. We're here to build that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very kind of harsh reminder, but the reminder to the companions that even if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away, that doesn't mean it's the end of the road. That doesn't mean it's the end of the road. Because remember, the messenger, why do we call him Rasulullah, or why do we call him Ar-Rasul? Because he's the messenger of Allah. He's the one who has been sent on behalf of Allah to connect us to Allah, right? To build that relationship and connection with Allah. And another reason this ayah is so powerful, because this is the ayah that was recited by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And again, I won't go into too much detail here, but we know that that was the most difficult day that this ummah has ever suffered, was the day that we lost the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we know that the companions, so many of them reacted in so many different ways to that news. And you can imagine how traumatic that moment was, right? This person that showed them the way, that guided them, that brought them out of the lifestyle that they were in and brought them to the truth, the person that they, you know, stuck with throughout so many difficult situations and so many tough times, that now the Prophet ﷺ had passed away and so many of the companions were reacting in so many different ways. You can imagine the grief that was experienced by the ummah in that moment. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the best friend of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after confirming the news of the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood up and he recited this ayah again to uplift the community and to really unite everyone, to wake everyone up to this reality that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed. However, it is our responsibility to continue forward. It is our responsibility to live up to that message that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. In the next few pages, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us about the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَلَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is out of Allah's mercy that you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have been lenient with them. Had you been cruel or hard-hearted, they would have certainly abandoned you. So pardon them, ask Allah's forgiveness for them, and consult with them in conducting matters. Once you make a decision, put your trust in Allah. Surely Allah loves those who trust in Him. This is such a beautiful ayah, which again summarizes for us that beautiful character, the beautiful characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that kindness, that mercy, that love that we see from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his companions and for his ummah. And again, all of us fall into that category of the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from this ayah, we're learning a few things. We're learning how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam built that prophetic community. How did he unite everyone? And there's so many principles that can be highlighted from these ayats, but I want to just quickly go over them. The first one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of the power of being lenient and kind and forgiving with people. That the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that had he been cruel or harsh, then people would have turned away from him. Right? But it's that mercy of the Prophet ﷺ, it's that mercy that brings people together. It's that mercy and kindness that unites hearts and builds a community. And then the Prophet ﷺ is commanded by Allah, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ, to pardon people, to forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, don't just pardon them, but then actively seek forgiveness for them. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and consult with them. Right? It could have been very easy for the Prophet ﷺ to make decisions and make the most perfect decisions. Again, why? Because he's a messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still telling him to consult and consult with them, consult with your companions, consult with your ummah, with your community when you're making decisions. And again, it seems like, well, why does the Prophet ﷺ have to consult? Well, if we think about this as advice for us, if we try to carry this advice forward, that's how you build a community. If one person just goes ahead and keeps making decisions, right? Even if they're making the right decision every single time, it doesn't necessarily foster a community, right? But we're seeing here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us these principles that consult with people, involve people in the decision-making process. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and once you come to a decision, once you make a decision, again, if you're the person that has that decision-making right or authority, once you've consulted with people, there has to be one person who makes a decision. Once you make that decision, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, then rely upon Allah. Put your trust in Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ, indeed, Allah loves those who rely upon Him or put their trust in Him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following ayah reminds us of another very important principle that's oftentimes hard to internalize, but it really gives us so much strength and support. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن يَنصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, he's reminding us about why we have to put our trust in Allah. Because the reality is that Allah is the one that has control over everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if Allah helps you, if Allah aids you and supports you, then there is absolutely no one who can defeat you or overcome you. But if He denies you help, then who else can help you? Allah doesn't even say if He denies you help, no one can help you. He says, if He denies you, then who is there that can help you after Allah? And the reality is, as believers, we understand there is no one. Right? Everything happens by the permission of Allah. That we can only be supported, we can only find help if it is by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're lost. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of that same principle, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. So the believers, they should put their trust in Allah. All right? They should trust in Allah. The power of reliance and trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, we're running a little bit short on time. There's, of course, so much to talk about. It's a whole juz of Quran. I'm just going to fast forward, to the last part of Surah Ali Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us again about a group of people that remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean to do dhikr of Allah? Now, this is, again, another one of those important acts of worship that maybe we're thinking about more during these days. We're trying to implement a lot of good deeds, and we're thinking about dua, we're thinking about taqwa, we're thinking about seeking forgiveness. You also often hear this idea of doing dhikr, or remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this passage, starting at ayah number 190, He gives us a practical representation of what it looks like to remember Allah and what that leads to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the changing of the night and day, there are signs for people of understanding. This is, again, such a simple thing, but the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around us, everything that we witness from the change in weather, the changing of the day, the changing of the seasons, all of these things are part of the processes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put into place, right? These are those perfect, the perfect balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the world in. And as we see it, we should remember, as we see the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should remember our Creator. And only true people of understanding sit and reflect, right? Sit and reflect over the creation of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who are these people of understanding? He says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. These are people that remember Allah standing, sitting, and lying down. Again, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation, in every state that a human being might be in. You might be standing, you might be sitting, you might be lying down. There's really any position that you can be in. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So what do they do after remembering Allah? What does the remembrance of Allah lead to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that remembering Allah leads to يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. When Allah is on your mind, then you reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth. You ponder, you think beyond just the superficial, beyond just what you're seeing at a superficial level, right? As believers, we look beyond just the beautiful thing to take a picture of or the beautiful sunset, right? We look at the sunset, and as believers, we're reminded of the Creator. We're reminded of the one who created this beautiful thing that we are witnessing. And as a result of this pondering and this reflection, we're being given an example of what do these people say? What kind of dua do they make after they see this? And they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. They make dua to Allah and they say, oh Allah, you did not create this without purpose. You did not create this for no reason. سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, glory be to you and protect us from the punishment of the fire. There, again, there's a very powerful conclusion that comes from remembering Allah, reflecting on the nature of this world and the creation of this world, and realizing that this world isn't it, right? This isn't the end of the road. This is just a stop on the way. And remembering that there will be a day of judgment when all accounts will be settled, when justice will be established. And these people, through the remembrance of Allah and reflecting over His creation, they're reminded of that reality, and they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they continue and they say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ. They say, our Lord, indeed, whoever you enter into this fire, then you have humiliated that person. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. And there's absolutely no one to help the oppressors or the evildoers. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. And then they say, our Lord, we heard a caller calling to faith and we believed, أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ, who called for us to believe in your Lord, and we believed. So, oh Allah, again, we got the message from the messengers. We received the message, we believed it, we accept it, we've committed to guidance. رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. Oh Allah, forgive us our shortcomings and wipe out for us any sins of ours. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ, and allow us to die amongst the righteous. رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَى رُسُلِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Our Lord, give us what you promised by means of your messenger, and don't humiliate us on the day of judgment. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Indeed, you never break your promise. Now, again, where did all of this start? All of this whole dua that we just read, it started from a sincere remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a reflection over the creation of Allah. And that's really one of the things that we're working on in this month of Ramadan. We're trying to, you know, build that God consciousness, that taqwa, that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that mindfulness. And we're trying to also you know, be active in our remembrance of Allah and our reflection over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as a result of this dua, in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he responds to these people. He says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكْرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى بَعْضُكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْضٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, their Lord has answered them, I will not allow the deeds of any one of you to be lost, whether you are male or female. Each is like the other in rewards. I will certainly wipe out the bad deeds of those who emigrated and were driven out of their homes, who suffered harm for my cause, who fought and were killed. I will certainly admit them into Jannah, into gardens graced with flowing streams as a reward from Allah. The best reward is with Allah. All right. So again, we're over time. So that concludes Surah Ali Imran. The next surah in the last quarter of this juz is Surah An-Nisa. Surah Nisa, again, just as a very quick summary, it opens with a reminder to all of mankind to be God-conscious, this reminder of taqwa. And it's a reminder to those who are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the muttaqeen, to make sure that they guide their actions based on this quality of taqwa. And it's taqwa that should be exercised in all of our relationships and how we deal with our responsibilities. That whatever responsibilities we have, whatever relationships we have to maintain, we maintain them while being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, so many important consequences of that. Things that are mentioned in this surah, if you're responsible for an orphan, then be conscious of Allah and how you handle their wealth and fulfill their rights accordingly. Then Allah reminds of the outcome of those who abuse their rights, who are not conscious of Allah as they handle the wealth of the orphans and they consume the wealth of the orphans unlawfully. Those people have violated the trust that was placed upon them, and for that they will suffer the consequences on the Day of Judgment. Then towards the last few pages of this juz, we have one of the pages that is like the final level or the boss level for all the huffaz that we'll be leading tonight. These are the ayat that summarize the Islamic laws of inheritance in great detail. It's not only difficult for huffaz, it's difficult for Arabic students. There's a lot of fractions, there's a lot of numbers, a lot of different things involved. So again, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly highlights for us the laws related to inheritance and fulfilling these responsibilities. Jazakumullah khair, everyone. Inshallah, we will stop here today. I know we went a bit over time. Again, just as a reminder, a few of the things we talked about, that this month, again, one of the main focuses of this month is to build taqwa, is to build that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We looked at a few passages today that talk about consciousness of Allah, talk about remembrance of Allah, reliance upon Allah. These are all of those things that we're trying to build. We're trying to build that active relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, a lot of times throughout the year, we're kind of just passively engaging in acts of worship, if we are, right? We're passive, we're praying just because we have to, or we're going to Jumu'ah just because it's what we do, or, you know, we're doing whatever acts of goodness just because, maybe out of habit, but the month of Ramadan is an opportunity for us to be very intentional and purposeful with everything that we're doing. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all of our acts of worship this month of Ramadan. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to reach the end of the month of Ramadan, to leave this month better than we entered it. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from us. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the strength to do the best that we can in this month. Again, Jazakumullah khair for joining us. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, this program is brought to you by Helping Hand. You can find out more information about what they're doing at hhrd.org/Ramadan or hhrd.org/Qadam. Take a look at the work that they're doing and consider supporting them. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.